We do encourage you to bring your Bibles. And for those who don't have them, you can follow along on the screen there, of course. But one of the reasons why I encourage people to bring their Bibles with them is so that they can read what's before and after. Hold me accountable. Amen? That's what it's about. Amen. Don't just... The Bible says prove everything and hold fast, which is good. I know Brother Nathan feels the same way. Brother Andy, all those who teach here, you know, we want to make sure we're teaching the Word of God without error. So we do encourage you to bring your Bibles. We're going to go back to verse 26 through 28 today because last week, as I shared, I mean, there's just too much in these verses of Scripture, not to mention some of these things that are so important to us when it comes to prayer. And these verses in particular are very encouraging because of the fact you know that Jesus is praying for you. Amen? Let's go ahead and read verses 26 through 28. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. What do we have? Weaknesses. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, there are things that can't even be spoken. Now, He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Let me just say this, that sometimes God says yes, sometimes He says wait, and sometimes He says no. All of those answers are answers to prayer for our good. Amen? Would you say amen with me on that?
Amen.
Good. I hope you mean it. Because a lot of times people get upset with God, shake their fists and say, I don't understand God. What's wrong with you? There's got to be a problem up there. If that's your case, the problem is you. And that's what we have to remember when it comes to that. Let's go ahead and ask God's blessing upon this word. I'm going to ask Brother Nathan, if you would stand and ask the blessing upon the word.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to assemble, dear Lord, to hear your word. I pray, dear God, that you would find a lodging place in each heart. I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to accept it, dear Lord, to apply it, dear Lord, and that we would grow by its light. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Basically, what I wanted to hone in on again is the effectual prayer, or the effective prayer, as it says in the New King James Version. The effectual prayer is what you'll find it says in the King James. From James chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, it says, confess your trespasses to one another. This is so important. Remember, in the Lord's Prayer, one of the first things He said to say when you pray, what is the first thing He said? Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive others. So important to make sure that that's covered. Amen. And it says, and pray for one another. Show a care and a concern about others, because we're to love one another. Amen. It says that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So there is an effective prayer. It is not only the fervent prayer, but there's other aspects and things that have to do with being effective in reaching the ears of God. It's wonderful to know that the Holy Spirit's making intercession for us, though, isn't it? Elijah was a man with a like nature as ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. What do you suppose it was that made God hear the prayer of Elijah? We would say, well, he prayed fervently. It was more than that. He prayed an effective prayer. And the effective prayer was that he was praying in the will of God, you see. And that's what we have to understand. The word intercession means prayer or petition in favor of another. Thank God we have Jesus praying for us, because we don't know how to pray like we ought. We need someone to be praying for us. Because what sadly is missing a lot in a lot of people's lives is the fact that brothers and sisters are not praying for one another and bearing one another's burdens like they should be. That's one of the reasons why we're putting a lot of emphasis upon prayer, especially here lately. Now, I look at this and I think that it's pretty safe to say that the Holy Spirit knows how to pray the will of God, wouldn't you say? And that's why He's always heard, because He is God. But as I said last week, you know, even though the Holy Spirit's praying for us, we are commanded to pray ourselves. Why would God have us to pray? Because He's preparing us for eternity. He's preparing us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to what? His what? His will, He hears us." And getting back to the James chapter 5, verse 16, "The effective prayer avails much." Again, we establish what the effective prayer was, bringing the will of God. But let's ask ourselves this question. So let's say I'm praying this prayer. You would think that this is an effective prayer, praying in the will of God. "Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, as it, and thy will be done as on earth as it is in heaven," right? Why would that be the effective will of God prayer? Because Jesus prayed it. Amen? Right? Would you agree that's a prayer that's effective? But folks, we have to remember there is another component to all this that we sometimes neglect to look at. We can pray all the right things and still not be heard because our walk is not in the will of God. Hello? Did that touch a nerve? It should. This was the problem of the children of Israel. They were going to temple. They were going and they were praying. They were worshiping the Lord. They were leaving the temple and they were going out into the groves and worshiping the idols and committing fornication. This is what the Lord said about them. Isaiah 29, verse 13 through 16. "Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts from me, and the fear toward me is taught by commandment of men, therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among the people, a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent man shall be hidden. Woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, that say, who sees us and who knows us? Surely you have seen things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? Or shall the thing made say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, he has no understanding?" I think that this is what happens a lot of times when people aren't getting an answer to prayer. They're trying to figure out God, something that you cannot do. He is an infinite being. He transcends your finite understanding. Amen? His ways are high above us as the clouds are, the Bible says. You can't comprehend. Again, if you think that you can, I would counsel you to read the last few chapters of Job. As God questioned Job, He said, "Who are you to question me?" Amen? And yet we find ourselves doing it when there's no answer to prayer. One of the greatest problems why many Christians' prayers are unheard is this. And it's found in Psalm 66 and 18. What does it say? "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Remember, the prayer of the righteous avails much, it says. But our prayers will be null and void, folks, if our lifestyle is a contradiction to what we profess with our lips. I know nobody likes to hear that, but that is the truth. Does it mean that you're lost? No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is you're going to have your prayers hindered. God may not answer your prayer. If our lips say one thing and our lives do another, we praise, but we profane at the same time. And folks, there's something wrong with that. I think that what we have to understand is that when we walk in sin and we're not walking in the will of God, God has called us to be holy. And what we're doing is we are polluting what should be holy. So can we appear before His presence with defiled garments? No, I don't believe that's so. But if you want to reach the ears of God and you want Him to just focus on what you're saying to Him, it's imperative that we strive to walk worthy of the calling with which He's called us. Did you know that's what the Scripture actually says? In Ephesians 4 and 1, it says, "I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." Now, some of you may be here this morning, you think, "But Carrie, I'm the church is open. I'm there. I pray all the time. I don't sin." Really? You don't sin? Well, again, let me remind you of 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, which says, if we say that we have no sin, what does it say? We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The truth is, sin makes us defiled. It pollutes us. The word pollute carries with it the connotation of impurity, being contaminated, being unclean. Now, there's a whole lot of Christians whose prayers are not effective because they're unclean as a result of walking in literal sin. I know this is probably tough to hear, but what I'm sharing with you is the truth. I believe it's the Word of God. Let me put it into perspective. If you're here and you think that you never have a problem with sin, I believe that every time that you backbite, that's a pollution. Every time that you think an evil thought, that's a pollution. Actually, let me put it this way. Every time you think an evil thought and entertain it, every time that you refuse to forgive another and expect God and others to forgive you, my friends, that is a pollution. It is a pollution. That's why James said, first thing you do when you come before the presence of the Lord is you confess your sins. Remember what it says in the book of Proverbs? If you try to hide your sins, you won't prosper. It means I believe God won't answer your prayer. But if you confess and, what does it say? And forsake it, you'll have mercy. That's what we all want, isn't it? The Bible tells us that sin easily besets us. And so we have to recognize that fact. We have to recognize the need that we have to have our sins forgiven. And when we stand praying, we need to make sure that we are not unclean. You see, we have to be cleaned up by the Word of God. We have to allow the Word of God to make us new. And not just be a hearer of the Word, but a doer. Remember, we've always heard that illustration of the Word of God being like a mirror. It shows you your condition. And it serves to be the soap, the detergent to clean you. But you have to recognize that you need to be cleaned and put it into application. The Bible tells us that we need to be careful not to be like an Esau. Esau, he was brought up in the ways of God to know the Lord. Well, look at what it tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 17. And in this it gives us a description of what we are to be doing in our walk with the Lord to make sure that we can be heard by God when we cry out to Him. It says, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down, the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. In other words, your lives can be healed so that you can be heard by God. And it says, and pursue peace with all peoples, and listen, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And then it says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, polluted, and lest there be, listen, any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. So not only did he fornicate himself spiritually, but history books tell us that he did the same thing physically. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. He wept before God, probably laid upon his face before God, but there was no place of repentance. He refused to change his ways, to go the direction of God, but chose to continue to go his way. If that is your heart here today, and I don't care how many times you get down upon your knees to pray, and you expect God to hear you, you know what you can expect? Just like Esau. Not to be heard. If your prayers are powerless and polluted, you need to do an internal assessment of your life. The question is, if you are polluted and defiled, how do you get clean? And the answer is found, of course, in the Word of God. Psalms 119:9 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. As we walk in this life, I don't care who you are as a Christian. You may think you're a super dynamo Christian, that you're so spiritual, you never sin, never, you always have it together. Remember the Bible says anybody says they doesn't sin is a liar? And the truth's not in? As we walk through this world, thank God we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? But as we walk through this world, we can become defiled by this world through sin in this world. And we have to constantly be coming back to the Word of God and receive that washing of the water of the Word, putting it into application, washing off that ugliness of the flesh. You know, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, there was more to that scenario than what meets the eyes. I know many churches over the years have had what they call foot washings. They're going to copy and do the foot washings and what have you. Well, I think they caught the meaning in the physical sense, being a servant. There is an underlying meaning there that is so important for us to understand. And that is the fact that as we walk through this world, we become defiled. And we have to wash one another's feet. We need to encourage one another and pray for one another. That's why it said, confess your sins and pray for one another. If you see a brother or sister that's sinning, pray for them. But there is a case in a place where you see a brother or sister who's praying a sin unto death. The Bible says there is a sin that leads unto death. He says, I don't say that you should pray for that circumstance. They may have to leave this world. But we should be praying for one another, that God would give us victory over those things that keep us from being heard on high. Look at what Jesus actually said here in John 13, verse 1 through 15. Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, and Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered him and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. That is an important verse of Scripture. What I'm doing right now, you don't understand. Certainly, they understood that Jesus was washing their feet, being an example like a servant. But there was more meaning behind it than met the eye here. You'll understand this later. And Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing now, you don't understand now, but you will know after this. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered unto him and said, if I do not wash you, you will have no part with me. I submit to you folks that what Jesus is telling him here is what he's referring to is the washing of the Word. And if you do not allow Jesus to wash you with the Word of God, you'll have no part with him. Simon said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also the hands and my hands and my head. Listen to what Jesus said to him here. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet. In other words, he's saying, you're clean because I've cleansed you by my sacrifice, is what he's going to say here. You know, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. And he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. And when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you not know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and I say to you, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash the feet of other people. For I have given you example that you should do as I have done. And folks, I think the underlining meaning here is this. We are to be encouraging one another. Why the Bible says to come together, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. Why? So as we can encourage and admonish one another. Wash one another with the washing of the water of the Word. The spiritual feet which we have in this world that becomes defiled by the world needs to be washed and cleansed so that we can maintain a proper walk, a walk that glorifies God. Amen? We've got to get this. I want my prayers to be heard on high, don't you? Think about some of the things that we've been talking about. We're talking about John Wesley and the power that he and his brother had as witnessing and sharing the gospel and the mighty work that God did, it was because they were in the will of God. They were living the Word. Amen? I was thinking about James McDonald in one of our studies at the Vertical Church the other day. Natalie was sharing this with me too, but I remember hearing it on the DVD. James, they've been meeting together as a church, and they've seen answer to prayer right and left. It was crazy how God answered prayer. Just, you know, and he said one day they were praying for this property that was belonged to a Catholic church, and usually Catholic church don't give up their properties, especially to an evangelical church. And so they were praying about it, and he just knew that God was going to give them that property because the church was growing so big, growing so fast, they just were running out of room. Well, guess what happened? They didn't get the property. God, I don't understand this. I thought we were in the will of God. I just don't understand. A lot of times, folks, we don't have an answer to prayer from God, not just because the fact that our lives aren't in the will of God, but because God has a better plan. Amen? You know what happened? It was a short time later. There was a property that was developed, huge, like 200,000 square, or two, was it? How many square feet was it? Huge building with 800 car parking. That's close anyway. Anyway, the point is, God gave it to me. And you know what it cost them? Even though this property is worth $14 million? Oh, I got it wrong. I'm thinking of something different. Thank God for my helpmate. I think I got this part right, though. It cost them $1. $1. You think God answers prayer? Sometimes God's got a better idea, and sometimes he says, wait. Now, we could get our nose out of joint and say, whoa, man, God's not answering my prayer. Something's wrong with God. No. Sometimes he says, wait. And so we should not be discouraged. I think another thing that we need to remember is that God honors faith. Amen. Those who come to him must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God who gives us liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let no man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man and unstable in his ways. We need to make sure that if we want our prayers to mean something to God, then those prayers had better mean everything to us too. Amen? Can't be double-minded. The third thing, you must surrender your will to God's will. Remember, Jesus prayed, not my will be done, but your will. And don't get mad at God because he doesn't answer your prayer the way you want him to. Amen? But understand that sometimes the Lord just simply says, no. Amen? No. And take no for no. Now, for us as believers, I think it's important for us to, again, understand that Jesus is praying for us. Amen? He ever lives to make intercession for us, it says. Jude chapter 1, verse 20 through 23 says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but on others take with fear, pulling them out of the fire, heating even the garment defiled by the flesh. You see, there's a work there where we are to bear one another's burdens. We're to pray for one another. That's part of pulling them out of the fire. You see a brother or sister sin, it's not a sin unto death. Pray for them. Talk to them. Minister to them. Get them back on the right standing. Last week we shared about how the Holy Spirit makes intercession with groanings that can't be uttered. And I said that it was not directly talking about tongues, but it was indirectly in a way, because it is the Holy Spirit that prompts us, our spirit, what to pray. Because again, we don't really know what to pray for, so we ought. And we find in 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, it says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding. Again, it says pray, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to submit to you that while I believe that the Holy Spirit does prompt us what to pray for, that is not just talking about tongues. I believe, how many of you believe that, if you believe that only through speaking in tongues, Jesus is making intercession for you? You see, what about those, the Bible says, do all speak in tongues? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. Not everybody speaks in tongues. Do you think Jesus is making intercession for those believers? Of course. Of course. And again, I remind you that it says he makes intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. Okay? Thank God that we have the prompting of the Holy Spirit to help us to be able to pray like we should. Amen? Anybody here feel like, when I get down to pray, it just seems like a fog comes over me? I can't think of what to pray. How many of you believe God knows that and understands that? He understands our weaknesses? How many think that probably would be a good idea if we, when we got down to pray, we said, Lord, show me what to pray. Because I don't know what to pray for, Lord. I feel so weak and inadequate. Nevertheless, I know that you're praying for me. Amen? How important that is. We want our prayers to be heard from God on high. It's so important for us to grasp this. Real quick, I just want to share a couple more verses because I think this is important for all of us to get. There are other verses that talk about not so much that God will not answer, but will not, it will hinder your prayer life. And some outright, God will not answer. In particular, this one that's found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, verse 3. Here he's talking about the children of Israel again. And here the Lord's speaking to the prophet. He says, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired at all by them? Have you ever saw that in Scripture before? I'm telling you, there's people that are putting all kinds of things before God. And I don't think God has changed his mind, my friends. Something we need to consider. God comes first. Amen? Above all things. That's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then everything else will be added to you. That's the steps that we need to take. The next thing we need to think about is the fact of pride. Pride is one of the hardest things for us to get rid of. Amen? Because of the sin nature. But again, because of pride, we find ourselves prayerless, don't we? You know, God knows, you know, I don't need to pray. But again, this is so important in the day that we live. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. That is a promise from God. If we are unconcerned about others, we refuse to walk in love. I believe that's another thing that makes our prayers powerless. Proverbs 21 and 13 says, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. And then, of course, this is one that everybody who's married should know and understand. Unresolved marital problems, amen, will hinder your prayer life. Unresolved marital problems. It says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So I think it's pretty clear that what we've established here is that there are things that hinder your prayer life. There are things that will actually stop God from hearing you altogether. But there are steps that you can take to make sure that the lines of communications are open. Amen? I remember hearing an illustration one time during World War I. They didn't have wireless communications. It was all wire strung on the battlefield. If a bomb hit and exploded that wire, then communication was lost. One time it happened on the battlefield, And they needed to get in touch with headquarters because they saw an enemy attack coming. One young man went down and he grabbed one end of the line and the other end of the line and held it out like this and restored the line of communication. The point is, that's what Jesus did when he hung upon that cross. He restored the line of communication between God and man. We have access to the throne of grace. Brother was mentioning this morning. When that veil was rent in two, it means we had access to the Holy of Holies. We could come in and we could find help in the time of need. But folks, we've got to come the way that God says we come. He's the great King. Amen. We don't come defiled. We come with our hearts and lives ready to receive Him. Amen. And to ask of Him. I'm preaching to the choir here. But this is something that's so important. Because we all want to touch the hem of His garment. We want Him to hear. Amen? And we want to see our prayers answered. So just be encouraged that God just says, confess your sins. Confess your sins and turn. Repent. And you'll have mercy. You'll hear from God. Amen? Let's bow our heads. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, the Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God's raised Him from the dead, the Bible says, you shall be saved. And it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. You see, the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest anyone should boast. But then the next verse says, but we are God's workmanship, called to do good works. If you're here this morning and you've not made a decision to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, would you be willing to lift your hand right now so I can pray with you? Anybody at all? And I trust that you've all made that decision. Amen. I encourage you to get into the Word. Allow that Word to wash you clean. Amen. And it washes you clean when you apply it. Amen. Live it, folks. Live it. Praise God. Brother Randy, would you dismiss us in prayer?